Lord, I pray by the power of Holy Spirit, you will convict us where we need to be convicted. You will sharpen us where we need to be sharpened. That you will fine-tune us to be the people of God coming together as a corporate body to exemplify heaven on earth. Ambassadors, if you will. Hands and feet of Jesus, if you will. The church. However we number or name ourselves, God, we are your people called according to your purposes. So, Lord, let our words and our deeds come together as one. And may we exemplify your righteousness in Jesus' name. Amen. So as this final talk on prayer, how do we get ready to pray? We've talked about how the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. We've talked about all the aspects of prayer, of why we should pray and what intercession is versus regular prayer. So now let's just get down to the nitty-gritty, and I'm going to make this very practical today. How do we get ready to pray? Hebrews 5:7. Always go to Jesus when you have a question. Generally, the answer is always Jesus. My boys did that when they were young. If we asked them a question, their answer would be Jesus, and they'd always be right. Couldn't get away from that. In the days of his flesh, what is that saying? Jesus came from his divinity and entered into humanity. It's called incarnation. That's the big word, incarnation. Jesus came from being with the Father and always has been with the Father and always will be with the Father and ever was, ever is, and ever will be. And he became, for our purposes, for our understanding, flesh for 33 and a half years. In the days of those flesh, he offered up, he showed us how to do it. Prayers with supplications. How? With loud crying and tears. They weren't casual eat your meal prayers. Father, bless this food. Amen. He was crying out to God in prayer and supplication for the people with loud crying and tears to the one, capital O, one, God the Father, able to save him, Jesus, from death. And he was heard. Oh, here's the key to getting our prayers heard. Because of his piety. Who wants to tell me what piety is? Humility. Humbleness. He didn't regard himself as equal with God. He was. But he humbled himself and became and took on the form of a man and all the sin of the world so that you and I could have a ticket home. Whew. That's humility. The God of the universe, it'd be like us looking at an ant on the ground. And say, you know what? I'm going to die for that ant. Go ahead and kill me because I want that ant to be in heaven with me. I know that's kind of a poor example, but think of it that way. The God of all the universe that would love us so much that he would die for us in our stead because of our unrighteousness? Wow. You would no more die for an ant than the man on the moon. But it's far greater sacrifice Jesus made than even that comparison. If you think about it. The God who has everything, omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent, didn't need man to, and doesn't need man to survive. He's always been. That he would die for us. That's humility. We're encouraged to humbly come before God. We're never encouraged to come thoughtlessly, lightly, or unprepared. When you enter into prayer, you are not to come lightly. Oh, Psalm 66, I mean, Hebrews, no, Psalm 66, 18. If I regard wickedness in my heart, what? Same thing as Isaiah said, right? Now here David said, if I regard wickedness in my heart, God's just not going to hear. Because God's not going to fellowship at the table with what? He doesn't fellowship with evil, period. And if you're taking on evil and exemplifying evil, he's just going to do this for a while. And he's going to wait because he's gracious and merciful and long-suffering and all the things the New Testament tells us. Till you decide to regard iniquity like he does, as a stench, and you stay clear of it. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand's not so short that he cannot save. In other words, your prayers can be heard. Every one of your prayers can be answered. He's our Father in heaven. How many of you want to deny prayers to your children? How many of you want to deny requests to your children? Oh, you do, and you know why you do. But you don't want to. You don't wake up and say, how can I withhold blessing from my children today? Behold, the Lord's hand's not so short that it can't save, nor is his ear so dull that he cannot hear. And you know, oh, I wonder if the Lord heard me today. Maybe he just didn't hear my voice. Of course he hears. He's telling us why he's not listening. But your iniquities, your sins have made a separation between you and your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not what? Here, that means you're speaking, he's not listening. Oh, he's listening, but he's not responding. And he's probably not responding the way you want him to respond. Because God has some conditions. If you will do these things, he said in the Old Testament, then I will do these things. In the New Testament, Jesus comes, dies on the cross, and gives you opportunity to do a do-over, and a do-over. 70 times 7. But it doesn't mean that you don't have to do it over. Or pass it over. Or regard iniquity as something that you can entertain and entertain the devil at the same time you do God, because he's not going to hear you. Come on, you wouldn't hear you. You're not going to give the car keys to your kids after they just trashed your house. Think about it. Some of it's common sense that God gives us. So we're encouraged to come how? Like Jesus did, recognizing our place humbly before God. Recognizing that it's only by his strength and his power and his might that I can even come in the first place. That it's not about me. My life isn't about me and about my request, because God knows them before I ask. It's about purposing to become who God created you to be. And that is to be first and foremost a worshiper. And once you've worshiped him, he says, then go out and love your neighbor as yourself. Then you become other-oriented. Guess what? You never enter the picture. First two commandments, the greatest commandments, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor is what? Yourself. You're to love your neighbor. It's direct. He's using a comparison as how, because he knows how we love ourselves. But he says, love your neighbor. So you love God and you love your neighbor. That's your Christian life. And then he said, if you do those two things, I'll take care of every little detail of your life. Oh, your finances and your health and all those things. Oh, that was taken care of on the cross. Don't worry about it. I can handle it. I'm bigger than that. I can make a way when there seems to be no way. I can do things that you can't even dream of doing. I can operate you and give you words and give you a ministry that you could never handle in your own strength. Don't worry about all those things. You just worship me and love your neighbor, and you do those two things, and heck, things will be okay. That's what he's telling us. Generally, four things keep us from coming to God in a very effectual way. You want to be effectual in your prayer? Four things keep us that. Busyness, distraction, fatigue, and sin. Think about it. Yeah. Busyness, getting distracted, becoming fatigued, becoming a doer instead of a beer of the word. Yes, you can get burnout in ministry too. That's why so many pastors are getting burnout and people in ministry, because there's no relationship. It's all work. You'd eventually burn out yourself. Busyness, distraction, fatigue, and sin. We actually should come to the Father with a sensitivity in the Spirit, developed through prayer, praise, fasting, and renewing our mind through God's Word. Think about it. Spend time in prayer and in praise and fasting and renewing your mind in God's Word. What a way to approach God. Having washed yourself, if you will. Having prepared yourself, if you will. Having regarded iniquity as putrid, and I hate the very things you hate, God. And I'm coming to you as your child, made in your image, as a response to the calling that you've put on me. And I come with my innocence. And if I've regarded iniquity in my heart, forgive me, Father, for I know not what I do. And I ask you now to place me in a position where you'll use me, take me, mold me, shape me. What does it sound like? All the songs that you sing. Do you mean it? Do you mean what you sing? Come prepared. Come praising, come fasting, come renewing your mind in God's Word, come fellowshipping with another, then approach God in prayer. So here's a sample plan, and I gave it to you in a handout there, and we're just going to cover it lightly, and we'll close. Sample plan for how to approach God. Number one, confess and repent of any sin in your life. I don't know how many more times I could have used Scripture to tell that to you this morning, but God doesn't like it when you come with sin. He's not going to hear you. So for me, number one is confess and repent of any sin in your life. Number two, wait on the Lord. That's confessing that you don't even know how to pray as you should and you ought. But he does. And the Holy Spirit who lives in you does. And if you can connect the Holy Spirit to God the Father with God the Holy Spirit in you, you got a party. What do I mean by that? You got a fellowship. You got an understanding. You got a communion that is inseparable. No demon in hell can penetrate that kind of communication. What's the first thing that breaks up a marriage? Communication. Well, you'll never break up Jesus and me, because we're going to stay communicated for the rest of my born days. No demon in hell can break up that relationship. Oh, you can walk away from it, but nobody, no demon, or no other person could ever break that up. And God himself won't ever do it. Confess, number one. Number two, wait in the Lord. Isaiah 64:4. Wait on the Lord. So after you're done confessing your sins, and now you have nothing in the way between you and God communicating, now what you're pretty much saying is, God, you speak first. For from days of old they've not heard nor perceived by ear, nor has I seen a God besides you who acts in behalf of the one who waits for him. What does that mean? We don't act presumptuously. We don't come with our agenda. We may think we have it right. We may think we know exactly what we need to pray for. But if you ever ask God first, you go first. Maybe you'll change the way I pray. Maybe it'll be I'll just be praising and not even asking, because you're going to tell me you already know what I'm going to ask you. But how will we ever know if we don't wait on God? We're just busy rambling our laundry lists.
That's
right. So I'm just telling you, I'm giving you an example of maybe how you should set up your prayer life. Come in confession, get rid of any obstacle that would get in the way from him hearing you, number one. And then number two, okay, God, so here I am, what do you want me to do? And wait. Well, how long, Pastor? I don't know, until you get a release. Till you feel like you've waited long enough. He's not always going to sit there and have a long dissertation with you. No longer, you're not going to come every Sunday. You know, Mondays and Tuesdays, you're not going to hear a 30-minute sermon. You know, there's certain times when you know you got to wait on God, and you got to wait through the night, or maybe days, or months, or years. Other times, it's just, you just know. You got to trust God in you.
Right.
So in other words, become aware or expect his presence. That's what's waiting on him is. Acknowledging and thanking him for spending this time with you. Just simply saying, God, thank you for living and moving and having your being in me, and that I can communicate through you because of what Jesus did for me. I'm just so grateful of being here. God, what do you want to do? Bring an air of excitement instead of we got to pray, gather the brethren together. Oh, okay, oh, Lord my God, how great thou art. Come on. Oh, Lord, thou art, you know, how great thou art. I mean, get it out. Let the Holy Spirit praise him. Thunder, I read in Revelation, thunder and lightning and loud and crashing cymbals. I read in the church that we're supposed to be quiet and fold our hands and hardly ever say a peep. Who's right? Read the Psalms. Read Revelation. It's anything but quiet up in heaven. Thank him for spending the time with you. Listen for any insight or instruction. Remember to pay attention to pictures that come into your mind. It's called the theater of your mind, and you know it. You think in pictures. When they tell you the memory verses to remember, they tell you how to do that through picture it. They tell you to take words and attach them to things that are familiar to you in pictures so that it will come to your memory. So pay attention to pictures that come in your mind. Remember, the Holy Spirit never speaks contrary to God's word.
That's right.
The written word, the Holy Spirit will always agree with. So if you get a picture in your mind, and hello, it's a picture of Jesus, and he's standing there black with a mean face, what are you going to do? In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, Satan. Get out of my prayer life. Father God, will you just cleanse my mind, get rid of the distractions, and poof, the image probably will just dissipate.
Yeah.
But it's a picture of what? A little lamb, and that little lamb is walking towards something, and it's a picture of him maybe walking towards a church, and then he shows you a picture of a good friend's face. Maybe he wants you to take that person and walk them to church. In other words, God speaks to us in visions and revelations and dreams and pictures in our mind. You know, very rarely, if ever, I've ever heard him speaking in an audible voice. I mean, he did in the Old Testament to some of the guys, and I'm sure there's been people that have heard his voice today. But most often, he does not speak audibly today. He speaks through the giftings of the church, the prophetic and the apostolic and the teaching. And do you understand what I'm saying? And the revelations and the visions and dreams. Why? I'll ask him when I get there. Till then, I'm just going to teach you what he's taught me. This is how he communicates to us. So wait on him. Get those pictures in your mind. Dismiss the ones that are not of him and entertain those that are of him. Number three. So you've what? You've confessed? Now you've waited on God? Let him speak? Read the word. Just start reading the word. John 15, 1-7. It says, I'm the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Jesus speaking. Every branch in me, that's us, that does not bear fruit, in other words, exemplify what God has been trying to tell us ever since Abraham, right? He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he, what? Disciplines, prunes, brings us through stuff to get us more spiritual, to get us looking more like the kingdom of heaven, more peace, more joy. He prunes us so that we'll bear more fruit. See, you're already clean because of the word. See, your ticket to heaven's been bought. That's not what your issue is here. Now it's growth, isn't it? Yeah. It's sanctification. Your justification happened when Jesus died on the cross for you. Your sanctification, your walk with God between now and when you go to meet him is what he's concerned about. That's why you have the church. That's why you have each other. It's time for growth. We can't just sit back and just accept our ticket and say, well, okay, that's it. Because he's going to ask you, what did you do with what I gave you? You're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. That's a given. He says, no, but abide in me. Now he says, live in me. You've been given eternal life. Be so grateful that you're willing to spend time and communicate with me after I first speak with you. And as the branch can't bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. You're fruitless without spending time and communicating with God first. I am the vine, he says. I am. Notice, I am the vine. You are the branch. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. But here's where it's getting to the good part about prayer. If anybody does not abide in me, spend time, communicate, listen, praise, worship, fast. Come on. If anybody doesn't spend that kind of time with me, abide in me, he's thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire and they're burned. In other words, worthless. You're wasting your time. But if you abide in me, and my words, as you're reading them, abide in you. Imagine they're living in you. They're not just being spoken from your mouth. You're living them out. Ask whatever you wish. Here's the key. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. That's powerful. What does it say? Ask whatever. Anything. If you're abiding in me, and my words abiding in you, and I know that you're living this life in and through me, you can ask anything you want, and it will be done for you. You want to talk about effectual prayer? Wow. So what I'm saying to you is try prayerfully reading through Matthew chapters 5 through 7. Just pick up your Bibles tomorrow or whatever. Go to the book of Matthew, and I'm picking just three chapters here, and read prayerfully chapters 5 through 7. In order to do what? To get his words to abide in you so that what John just said, and it shall be done for you, can actually start to happen. If you want things actually being done for you, then we should do what John just said to do. Get his word to abide in you, and then whatever you ask will begin to start happening for you. I don't know about you, but I see a cause and effect here. As I read God's word and I get it in me and I begin living it out, I see answers to prayers.
Yes.
It's just the way it works. And it shall be done for you. So start reading. So we've done what? We've confessed our sins. We've waited upon the Lord. And now we've read his word. Oh, but number four, now we begin to praise the Lord and thank him. Wow. Psalm 118:1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Means he first loved you. Why should I love God? Because he created you, he loved you enough to die for you, and he's given you eternal life. If that doesn't sum it up, I don't know what does. Psalm 22:3. Yet you are holy. That means set apart. O you who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. How is God enthroned? Upon the praises of Israel. How is he enthroned? What does that enthroned mean? How is he exalted? How is he lifted up? How is he acknowledged as King of Kings and Lord of Lords? How is he meant to be the omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent one? How is it known throughout the universe that God is God and that's who he is? He's known because we're shouting it. We're praising his name. God, you are enthroned. You're omniscient, omnipotent. You are Jehovah, self-existing Lord, eternal, changeless, and faithful. You're Elohim, creator, sovereign, full of power. You're Adonai, your Lord, your master, your ruler and owner. I'm speaking these words over a satanic, invisible influence that's around this planet. And I'm telling them that you, Satan, are under my feet and that God is enthroned above the cherubim. He is enthroned on the praises of his people of Israel. He's enthroned upon my praises. When you come in and you worship this morning, it's because you're elevating and exalting God above everything else in your life. You shouldn't be worried about what songs are being sung or how we're singing them or what kind of songs or what color chair you're sitting in. It should be God Almighty sitting on the throne as a vision in your mind and you are just pouring yourself out in humility to him. You want to talk about how to pray. You start by confessing your sins so you have an ear. Then you wait on God and let him tell you how to pray. And when you're done with that and you're through with that, read his word. And when you're done with that, praise him till you can't praise him anymore. Thank him till you can't thank him for any more things you can think about. And notice that now we haven't even asked for anything from him yet. I'm almost done with my sermon and we haven't even asked for anything yet. We've confessed our sin. We've waited upon Him. We've listened for Rhema. We've read His Word. We've thanked Him. We've praised Him. Wow, imagine that, fellowshipping with God. That's what you're doing when you're doing that, you know. For 33 and a half years, and I already told you that He was here in a tangible, physical form. Now He's at the right hand of the Father, walking spiritually amidst this church, waiting on us to do the same things they did when He was here.
Yes.
Trusting that by faith, you by faith, by believing what you don't see, but you believe it upon the report of the Lord, and through Scripture, and through the universe, and through the things that are made without hands, right? That you just believe and accept it by faith. So you begin to immerse yourself in a prayer life, communicating with a God you know is right there, right on this side of you. Yet you don't see Him with your physical eyes. Oh, does He love when people get that image, to know that He's right there without having to see Him. Blessed are those who believe, who have not seen Me. See, Thomas needed to see Him. Some others didn't. And he was like, blessed. How about Stephen? Stephen stood there as he's being stoned and giving himself up to God, and God showed Himself.
Yeah.
And his face lit up like a Christmas tree. And they were like, whoa! That's how close God is. He was being stoned, yet God is right here. Maybe you're going through a trial, a tribulation, or a hurt, or a pain, or a financial burden. He's right here. Just like for Stephen. And the reward is so far greater than you could ever imagine. You can't compare it to any kind of little reward of a little healing you might get here. Hey, if we get it, great. If we don't, it doesn't matter. Eternity's in the balance. You're in the balance. Hang in there. Persevere. Endure. Pray without ceasing. Make it your lifestyle. Walk away from sin. Be who God created you to be, and you'll enjoy eternity. Why live for your own little kingdom for 80, 90 years? It's passing away, folks. You'll not take anything with you. So you're fellowshipping with God by now in your prayer time. Well, how long's that been? 3 minutes? I don't know. For some, it's 3 hours. It depends on how close you want to get to God. But you're fellowshipping with God. You're there for something other than yourself, and you prove it next by interceding for others before you even bring them your own concerns. So you've confessed your sins, right? You're waiting on God. You're reading His Word. You're praising. You're thanking Him. And now you're interceding for others. You haven't even mentioned yourself yet. I believe that if you simply stopped with intercession for others, you wouldn't even have to tell him about your own stuff.
That's right.
I think he already knows. Nevertheless, he encourages us to come boldly with our burdens. How did, doesn't he? Nevertheless, in Hebrews, he tells us to what? Come boldly before my throne of grace. Your sons, your royal, as my son would say, your royalty. I'm a royal king. I'm a royal priest. I'm a royal son of God. I'm part of the kingdom of heaven. My daddy is God Almighty. I can talk to demons in that kind of manner and tell them that they're under my feet because my daddy rules the universe.
That's right.
Now, I don't do it in a pompous way. I do it in a humble, crying out way, interceding, saying, God, if you don't show up, I'm going down. Because the enemy can kick my butt. He does have power. What he doesn't have is authority.
Right.
Satan has no authority over the children of God when we're walking in God's promises. But mind you, you'll see false wonders, you'll see false miracles, you'll see power displayed. Power is not indicative of what God is all about. God is all powerful. But a little bit of power doesn't manifest and say, oh, that has to be God. God has all authority. But understand it in context, that He delegates and He relegates. And guess what? He's given you authority and He's given you power. Doesn't make you God. He encourages us to come boldly, but come organized, because God's a God of order. Remember that. Good organizational skills help us keep track of what we're praying for. What's being answered? What's not being answered? I think that's all important. I think we can learn from that. Amen? Here's where lists, journaling, picture boards, study notes, computer screens, yeah, even cell phones, can help bring to mind what it is we want to cover. Use the resources God's blessed us with in the year 2016 to aid you in bringing to your remembrance those things God wants you praying for. Have some questions written down like, Lord, what do you want me to pray for this person today? Or what's on your heart today? Imagine that. You may even want to get with a seasoned prayer warrior and pick their brain.
Yep.
Get their wisdom and then come up with your own plan. What am I telling you? Learn from experience. Don't reinvent the wheel. Now, there's a lot today that I talked about with you, but I never once talked about bringing your own concerns to God. And that's okay to do that. It's okay to finish with what it is you believe you want God to know. I'm just here to give you a little bit of a clue for some years of experience. He already knows. And he's looking for you to be obedient to the call of God, which is prayer and worship that should be on your life. So let me finish this prayer series with these words. All of your past failures and unfruitfulness when it comes to doing your part in prayer can be banished right now, once and for all, if you will only give prayer its proper place in your life. The fact that you couldn't pray for 5 minutes, the fact that you don't think you can even know how to pray, the fact that prayer's never been a priority in your life, the fact that prayer's just been something that you understood lightly but now you don't, all of that doesn't matter. Because God says today is the day of salvation. That doesn't mean today is the day he's going to bring you to heaven. It means it's a day of deliverance. It means a day of moving forward. It means a day of putting your past behind you and living for the present. God delivers us from evil. He delivers us from sickness. He delivers us from hell. That's what that means. So today you can begin a whole new journey in prayer. And I would suggest getting with some of the ones you know how to pray, that know how to pray, to get it into your life. Make the surrender. And I'm asking the intercessors out there to talk to me more about how you can use your gift in this church. We've kind of already talked to some of you about that, and it's time now to put it into practice and how we can be real. So I close with this. A depositor whose account is in good condition normally has every check he writes honored by the bank. Would you agree? I'm going to say it again. If you're a depositor in a bank, a depositor whose account is in good condition normally has every check that he writes honored by the bank. If we're right with God, we can expect to withdraw from heaven in the very same sense with an analogy like that. Because God repeats over and over again, if you walk in righteousness, if you walk in justice, if you reprove the orphan, right? Reprove the, who is he reproving? The widow or whatever, and then, you know, and taking care of the orphan. What did he say? I will hear you. Live right and pray. Until then, spend time at the altar of God's presence in prayer. I'm asking you to spend time at the altar of God's presence in prayer. And if you will do that, as we unfold these next few weeks of talking of the Holy Spirit, your life will be incredibly transformed.